Thank you, Trio. Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Christmas should be a special time, and I think it is to us. It should be. We should never forget the meaning of it or get used to hearing about it. And get used to reading the Scriptures and not letting it move us. It's a wonderful, marvelous, the greatest story, the true story, the greatest that was ever told about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, if you'll find your place there. Luke 2, verse 8, and I'll read down through verse 11, just a portion of this beautiful passage of Scripture about the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, the Scripture says, Luke 2, 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Most of us would have been too if an angel had appeared like that. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, at Christmas time, we try to go out and do a little shopping for some gifts. I made the mistake of driving through a shopping area yesterday in the parking lot, and I thought I would never make it home. I guess they're catching up on the week that they missed with all the ice storm. But I think that the gifts we get should be special for the people we're getting those gifts for. They should be special to them, the person that's receiving the gift. And most of us try pretty hard to pick out a gift that we think the person we're going to give it to would really like. And some of us flub that up sometimes. I think husbands might be the worst of all. But at any rate, we try. We want to be sure that whatever we know they want, we want to give them a gift that would be appropriate, a gift that they would appreciate, a gift that would make them feel better and maybe be practical, maybe be useful in their life. But each gift should be picked out for that particular person. And there are some exceptions, but most of you husbands wouldn't buy your wife some fishing tackle and maybe some new golf clubs. Now you might, there are some exceptions, I understand that. That wouldn't be the typical thing. Then you always have the real romantic person that buys his wife some dishpans for Christmas or something like that, you know, because that's very appropriate. Something to help around that, vacuum cleaner, pink vacuum cleaner, whatever. But we try to buy gifts. We say, I believe she would like that. I believe he would like that. I believe they would like this gift. And so we pick that out. Now, when you get to where you have so many grandchildren, then you have a new problem. And that's so hard to do, especially when they're spread out. So the best thing to do is go to the bank, get a loan, and give them money. Amen? And then you just take care of that. So you just give them money. Say, now buy what you want, because it would be almost impossible to buy each one. You might get them a little token something, but it's very difficult. But God wanted to give the right gift to mankind, didn't he? He wanted to give a helpful gift, an appropriate gift, a needed gift, the right gift for man. And I'm glad that he gave the one that fits every person. Amen. You know, sometimes we have to go back, and you go back after Christmas, and you go see all these clothes up on these counters, and they were the wrong size. And somebody didn't realize you had grown that much, or maybe you had lost that much weight, or whatever the situation might be. But it's not the right size. But Jesus gave the gift that will fit every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. This gift is appropriate for them. It's the right gift that God gives. And not only that, not only is it the right gifts, depending on their physical size or whatever, that doesn't matter. It's the right gift as far as their age and their culture. This gift will work anywhere in the world. It's not just an American gift. It's one that works all over the world. And it's one that will be appropriate for every age category. And thank God He sent the perfect gift. I don't know if we'll give the perfect gift this year or not. Probably not. But God gave the perfect gift, and that perfect gift was His Son. What an appropriate gift that met every need and that fit every category, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like the word whosoever, and I like the fact that God gave it for anybody, anywhere, that they can be saved. The perfect gift. What gift could be more appropriate? What gift could be any more perfect than the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? God's only Son, God's very Son, that He gave to take our place on the cross. Now, God could have sent some angels down here. He has a lot of them, you know. And He could have sent angels down here to help us out in a lot of the things that we need help in. And they're very powerful. And no doubt they do help us out as He tells them to help us out. They were very involved in the Annunciation, weren't they? They were very involved in talking to the shepherds. They do what God tells them to do. But the angels couldn't meet the need that was there. God could have said, well, I'll tell you, I'll just make everybody rich. And I'll make everybody prosperous. And give everybody enough money. And everybody thinks that's what's going to solve our societal problems. It'll never solve the societal problems. You just give everybody a piece of the pie, next thing you know, they'll want a bigger piece. Or they'll misappropriate the piece you gave them, whatever. But that's not what God said we needed. We didn't need an educator. We didn't need a philosopher. We didn't need that. We needed something else. We needed someone who could help us out. And someone would help us with our greatest need, and that was our desperate problem of being born again, getting our sins forgiven, being ready to go to heaven. And the only one that could meet that need, and the only one that God would provide as a gift to meet that need, would be His only Son. That's the only one that could do that. So He gave His Son the ultimate gift, the perfect gift, and to give us life, solve that problem, to solve the problem of death, and thank God to solve the problem of the resurrection. He gave us the perfect gift, the eternal gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep us from being separated from God. And you know, God gave His expression of His love, His perfect love for us through His Son. How much did God love you? How much does He love the world? He loved us enough to give His only begotten Son. What compassion that He would do that. So God wanted to give the right gift for mankind. And then He wanted to give you the perfect remedy for your past. You see, when you get saved, you're a forgiven people. I thank God that I'm a forgiven person. Amen. I have enough junk in my life. By the time I got saved at 9, that I even then was thankful that God would forgive me of my sins. We all have sins. We're all sinners. We're forgiven people. How? Through His sacrificial death, His substitutionary death. He became the ransom. He became the sacrifice. He satisfied the demands of a holy God. He satisfied all that God required out of us through His sacrificial death. And it was that. That's what the birth was all about, leading to His death. And it was His sacrificial death. No more guilt hanging over us. Isn't that great? Thank God I can say today I have no more guilt hanging over me. It's all settled. It's all taken care of through the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as I stand here, and as you sit there, wherever you are, as a born-again believer, you have no more condemnation. You're not under condemnation anymore. If you're not saved today, you're under God's condemnation. Amen. You say, well, I didn't know that. You are, according to the Bible. If you hadn't been born again, you're under the wrath of God, the condemnation of God. But once you accept Jesus Christ, no longer are you under the condemnation of God and the condemnation of sin. Thank God He gives us His love. And I like this. His love is unending. It's always there. You can count on it for all the rest of your life. I've been saved a long time, and I've found that God's love is unending. It never, never goes away. I also like the fact that His love is unconditional. It is unconditional. You see, you don't have to keep jumping through hoops to keep saved and all of those things. That isn't necessary for you to do. It's unconditional. Why? It is given because it's the perfect gift. God accepted it. It's given out of His love. And we are saved by grace, kept by grace, and we're going to make it to heaven by grace. Amen. The wonderful grace of God. And today, if you're saved, there is no barrier between you and Almighty God. No barrier whatsoever. That's why we can come boldly before Him anytime. By the way, you can come at your best and you can come at your worst. He's still going to be there. I've been there both times, many times, my best and my worst. And He is there. Why? Because we have access to the throne of God based on the merit, not of ourselves, but the merit and the mediation of Jesus Christ. I can approach the throne today because Jesus is there. He's the mediator between myself and Almighty God. And I'm glad for that. What a gift. The gift of knowing that I'm not condemned. My sins are forgiven. I have no guilt today. I'm on my way to heaven. And the love of God is always going to be there. But it's not only a perfect gift for your past. And some of us have quite a past. But God will take care of that. But it's also a gift for today, right now. God has given us a gift for today. You say, what are you talking about? Well, anybody today have any problems? Don't raise your hand. Anybody here have any problems? Surely we do. Most of us probably have some kind of problems. Do we have any challenges today? Surely most of us do have some challenges today. And we have some opportunities that are before us. What are we going to do with those things? All of this comes to us from the perfect gift that God gives us for today. And He can meet that need that you have today. Not only the past, we'll talk about the future in a minute, but today. God, through Jesus Christ, meets my need today. Because today I have someone living in me, and I'm glad He's living in me. That's the Holy Spirit. You can call Him and it if you want to. You can say He's not a person, but the Bible disagrees with you. He is a person. The moment I got saved, He moved into my heart, my soul, and my spirit, and He never, never leaves. And I'm glad today the Holy Spirit is my helper. I wouldn't be trying to preach if I didn't believe that the Holy Spirit was my helper. I believe He's helping me right now. Psalm 37:9. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Salvation is the Lord. He's your strength, my strength in a time of trouble. He is my helper today, and I'm glad that He is. And by the way, He says, I'll give wisdom to any man that needs it. He's there to help out. He's there to show us what to do. What are we going to do next year? What's our next step? What's our next choice? What are we going to do? Right now, He is there to help you, the Holy Spirit, to guide you in your life, in all of the decisions that you have to make. And He's promised to give you wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, what is he supposed to do? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none. What kind of wisdom? The wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us, the insight He gives us, based on the authority of the Word of God. He is our helper. He gives us wisdom. He gives us strength and courage. I'm glad He gives us that. I'm glad God gives us strength to witness and courage to witness, strength to take a stand. And I taught a lesson this morning about our culture. Brother David Gibbs brought a tremendous message. David Gibbs III the other day to our pastors. And I'm telling you, we need to be a people who will stand, though it's countercultural today. And we need to stand against our culture if necessary, not because we want to be against them, but because they're against us, to take a stand and stand there and not move and not apologize for who we are and what we believe in preaching the gospel. We need to have strength. We need to have courage. Where do we get it from? We get it today from the Lord. Psalm 37:39, He is their strength in time of trouble. He's my Lord. I have Him. I'm glad that right now today He wants to help me out. And you can call on God and He will answer you. He's there for you to call on if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have any right to call on Him, but if you're saved, He's there, whatever you're facing today, for you to call on Him. Call unto me and I'll hear thee and answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. God's able. And God says, I'm here, I'm available today. You got a problem today? Take it to the Lord. You have a need today? Take it to the Lord. You failed Him? Take it to the Lord. He's here today to meet your need, whatever that need is. And you can tell, call on God and He'll answer. And we have the promises of heaven that God is going to help us in our dilemmas. Many, many, many promises that we don't have time to go through, but they're there for us. And I'm glad that the Word guides us. The Word of God instructs us along with the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, this is an unchanging framework for us to go by. We have the pattern. We have what God wants us to do in His Word. You want to know the will of God? Get in the Word of God. That's the best way to know the will of God. There are some other things God doesn't show us we have to pray about and find out. But there it is in the Word of God. We have today the blessed, inspired, holy, infallible Word of God. I hate the fact that they've divided it all up and come up with 1,000 different versions when we had one unified version that everybody believed in for 200 plus years. Why do they have to mess it up? I still like this book right here, and I believe what it says, and I believe it is accurate, it is complete, it is without error, and why do I need anything else? I don't have any problem understanding thou and thee. An unchanging framework to live by. And then thirdly, we have a perfect gift for the future. The past, right now, today, and then for the future. God created us to live forever. Did you know you're going to live forever? Your soul and spirit are going to exist and live forever. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, you became a living soul. And we're going to live forever. One of two places. No in between. No, none of that. No limbo. No purgatory. None of those things. You don't find that in the Bible. We're either going to be in heaven or hell. Listen to me. Heaven or hell. He said, now preacher, don't you know it's not popular to talk about hell anymore? I'm really not worried about that. I don't answer to society. I don't answer to others. I answer to God. And God says there's a real hell. And people who die without Christ die and go to hell. A horrible place, a terrible place, never to get out, forever and forever in torment according to the Word of God. Heaven or hell, created to live forever. But once we are reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world via the virgin birth, who knew no sin, who never sinned, who took our place, when we as God's children are reconciled to God by faith, then thank God our future is totally secure. Amen. Are you worried about the future, preacher? No. Are you sure? Absolutely. Why? My future is secure no matter what happens. Well, what if they nuke us? All right, I just get to heaven real quick. What if this happens and this happens? I'm not making light of problems, but I'm telling you, I am ready for the future. Whatever the future holds, my future is secure, whatever it may be, because I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I've got a place up there in heaven that says reserved for Willie. My middle name is Wesley Weaver. Raymond Wesley Barber, Willie Wesley Weaver. Two great names. And we both have places reserved for us in heaven. Amen? We have it reserved in heaven. Why? Not because of us, but because of what He's done for us. Our future is secure. And again, I remind you that your performance does not cancel your heavenly reservation. And we ought to want to do all we can for the glory of God. But you cannot lose your salvation. And it's not going to cancel that. Christ's performance was the one, it was necessary. It was performed on the cross. And because Christ performed that on the cross, that seals my eternity and my destiny forever and ever. It's through what Christ has done on the cross. So when I know about the fact that I have a great future, then that helps me to face the future, whatever it may be. And I can bear not only up under today's load, but tomorrow's load, next month's load, next year. We don't know what this year is going to bring coming up. We have no idea. Only God knows. But I know I can bear that, and God is going to help me through the knowledge of knowing that my eternal destiny is satisfied. Because the day is going to come, according to the Word of God, there'll be no more tears, no more sickness, no more heartache, no more pain. None of those things are going to happen. There will then be no more death. Revelation chapter 21. And I know I'm going to that future. Won't be. Listen, there's so much pain now, death, different things that come, sickness, illness. I often wish that I could have been like the Apostle Paul or the apostles and just heal people, just touch their bodies. And you say, well, preacher, you're just not spiritual enough. You know, some of those guys on TV do that. Well, that's another story. We won't get into that. But I can tell you that that's not God's norm. God can heal you, that's for sure. Amen. But one of these days, no more sickness. Won't that be great? No more sorrow. No more death. No more pain. No more tears. None of those things. And we don't need to fear death. Why? You say, well, I'm a little scared of death. Well, I guess there's always that little human element. We've never been that way before. I've met a couple that said they had, and I don't think they had. But anyway, you've never been that way before. They may have come close to it, but not totally, or they wouldn't have come back. But here's the thing. If you're saved, and you're saved, and you know you're saved, you don't have to fear death. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. You see, a shadow can hurt nobody. It just can't hurt you. We, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, know we're ready to die. Do you know you're ready to die? Do you know that you have that kind of future? Amen. Are you positive of that? If you are, thank God for it. But our affliction is momentary in this life. Our affliction is light in this life compared to the joy that waits us. Oh, heaven's going to be wonderful. What a joyful thing. What a joyful time. God probably couldn't tell us a whole lot more than He told us about it. We'd all be shooting ourselves to get to heaven. And you say, well, if you shoot yourself, you don't go to heaven. And that's another message too. So don't hit me at the door with that one, all right? I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. And our affliction is momentary and light compared to the joy that waits us. And by the way, you notice he said this gospel in verse 10, which shall be to what? All people. I'm glad I can preach it anywhere in the world. It's to all people. And I want to ask you today, have you received the gift yet? God's gift, the perfect gift, the gift that will meet the need of your past, your present, and all of your future, including eternity. If so, you're glad today. If so, you know your sins are under the blood. If so, you know you're forgiven. If so, you know you're empowered through God to have His help in your daily life. And you're secure, totally, absolutely secure in your eternal destiny if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some point, some place, sometime in your life, you should be able to go back to it and say, that's where I get saved. Not I'm trying to get saved, or I believe I got saved over a period of time. I mean, God may have dealt with you, but you got saved the day you got saved, immediately when you trusted Christ. And there ought to be a time and a place where you can say, that's where it happened to me. may have been at church, may have been in your bedroom. Your grandmother, grandfather may have led you to the Lord, maybe in Sunday school class or in children's church or maybe on the bus going home. I don't know, but I can tell you, if you're saved, you're glad about it and you know you have these things. Amen. And I just want you to think today about that perfect gift. As we leave this auditorium, think about that perfect gift that God gave us through His Son. And I believe when we meditate and really think about it, not get so wrapped up in the commercial aspect of it. And don't misunderstand me. I like to give and receive gifts, and I think that's great at Christmas. And I don't want to be a Scrooge, and hope you're not. But I'm telling you, when we understand all of that, I think it'll make us realize just how special Christmas really is. What it's really about. We cannot afford to phase that out or let it dim in the background or somehow get clouded over in the fog of all of the other things that we have going on during this time. And we ought to realize just how special we are to God. Amen. When God gave His Son the perfect gift that we might have the gift of eternal life. Take care of the past. No matter what you've done, God loves you. Take care of every need you've got this day, this very day, and every need in the future. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Perhaps you need to come and bring some of your burdens to the Lord today. He can meet your need today. If you're here and you've never been saved, listen to me. I'm not talking about you've never joined a church or never been baptized or tried to be saved. I mean born again the Bible way. And you're not sure of that. You say, I'm really not sure of that. I'm just not sure. When we start the invitation, would you just step out? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be bashful. We do it all the time. You're welcome to come forward. Somebody will tell you how to be saved. You can receive this wonderful, perfect gift that will meet your greatest need and all of your needs if you'll do it today. And if you have, maybe you just want to come and just praise God for it. Perhaps there's other things you need to do. God knows, you know, and He's spoken to your heart. God's leading you to join our church. We invite you to come and let us know that as we would welcome you into our church. Father, thank you for giving your Son. Thank you for that beautiful verse, John 3:16, that we are so familiar with. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you that it's for all, whosoever. So call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that someone here who's never been saved will be saved this morning. May you help us as believers to have a fresh, new, blessed, revived appreciation of what you've done for us through your love, through your Son, through our Savior. Thank you that you let Him come into the world. Thank you for Joseph and Mary. And thank you, dear God, that He grew up, never sinned, and took our place. We rejoice and praise you for our eternal security through Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen. While we sing.